Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm so excited about today's guest. I know you're going to be as well. I have Terry Ogburn with me today, and he is the renowned owner and lead business coach of Ogburn's Business Solutions. His proprietary coaching system and personal devotion to the development of others has contributed to the success of hundreds of small to large business ventures. Terry began his business career in 1979 when he invested his last $118 to start an air conditioning service business. At that time, he had no car or truck, but he did have the knowledge and ability to build relationships. By 1983, he was a top five nominee for Small Businessman of the Year. In 1984, he won the award for Outstanding Young Businessman of the Year for the state of Florida. 1985, successful in his business and recognized as a leader in the business community, he began to mentor other small business owners. In 1989, he developed his own business success program based on his experience and the teachings of his favorite business books. His program was so successful that in 1992, Terry was asked to join Uniglobe Active Travel as a director of operations to boost individual store performance. Within months, he took the store to a $2.5 million agency. He then took the program national to improve performance organization-wide. In 1994, he became a founding team member of EXA Travel International and took on the role of Director of Training and Development. And within 2 years, the company grew to 11 regional offices with over 2,000 franchises and went public in late 1996. Wow, what an accolade of success stories. It's my pleasure to welcome Terry Ogburn.
Thank you so much, Belinda, for having me on your show. We're going to have a lot of fun today.
Well, I am sure of it. So, Terry, why don't you just fill us in a little bit? So you had some really great successes. And just take us a little bit on a journey now from that time frame to what brought you to owning your business today.
So after that company went public, I decided to take a kind of a sit back and just sit back and see what I wanted to do. And I don't know if you may remember, Belinda, when Bill Gates bought Magnavox TV and he created this web TV thing. And it was where you could take this machine, look like a VCR, and you would hook it to your TV and you could actually go online and you could scroll through and, you know, surf the net. You didn't need a computer. So that led me to needing a connector to put on these seminars, and I was going to sell that machine and some web pages. And then I went to Radio Shack to get a connector to make it all work, you know, fit together. And that lady talked me into having an interview with her regional manager. I got hired by Radio Shack to do turnaround stores for them. That was in 97. And so they put me in the store in South Florida. It was the worst store. It was surrounded by three cities that had an average age of 77 years old. So they put an electronics store right in the middle of a 77-year-old neighborhood. And so no wonder the store isn't working right. So anyway, so it took me about 6 months to get that store turned around and profitable. And then they sent me to a couple others. And then I went on to get recruited by Metrocall Paging when AT&T bought into their world. AT&T wanted pagers and stuff added to their world, and so that happened. My son passed in 2000, so I kind of took a little, about a year break, and then went to work with Century 21 to do some turnaround stores for them, turnaround franchises. And in the downturn at the end of 2005, I saw this opportunity that more and more businesses were going to be opening. Anything was going to save our country was going to be the small business model, you know, all small business people.
Yep.
So I dove out into the business in December of 2005, and I'm now, you know, 12 and a half years old.
Oh, well, that's exciting. Very exciting. So I'm anxious just to hear a little bit more about your business today. Tell us then about your business and how it has shaped your lifestyle today.
Well, we have to regress a little bit and go back to the beginning of my career when I had that $118.42. That was a simple thing. I'd been fired out of the car business, and the apartment complex I was living in was going condo, and they had a broken furnace stuck, and I could fix that. So I figured I could get a little grub stake money there, get a little money, bridge money, and get started. Well, the reason I go back to here is because that was my first mentor, was right after I started that business. And his name was Jim Foxworthy. He's gone now, but he was the regional president for IBM. So he took me under his wing. So for all your listeners and, you know, for your entrepreneurs, find mentors that will help you through these little obstacles. And that's what led me to get into my business, was all this knowledge and this book here and these just recommendations. So when I first ventured out into my world, it was a lot of FaceTime. You can imagine, Brenda, was like one-on-one stuff. And so then I started developing my program, which was the same thing I used in corporate world. I just kind of brought it down into a simpler format that the average business person can, can understand. I'll give you the four basic steps in it, if you'd like, for your listeners.
Sure, that'd be great.
The first thing we need to do is make a decision on what we're going to do. So stop all the jumping from lily pad to lily pad or bubble to bubble and decide what you're going to do. And we can manage 4 to 6 things, so you can have 4 to 6 things on your plate. But the idea is to make that decision and make a commitment that you're going to follow through with that decision until the end. Now, once you get that solidified, the second thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you're very disciplined about your time, your efforts, everything. You must fall into discipline. I get my discipline from the Lombardi Foundation called Lombardi Time. It's out there on the internet. Guys, go out and check it out. But you, again, being very disciplined. Now, number three is be decisive. Make sure that the decisions you're making is taking you towards your goals. Only 3% of the people have actual written goals. This was a study done by the Harvard Business School, and they wrote a book about it called What They Don't Teach You in Harvard Business School. But what they found out was that only 3% of us have actual written down goals. So once we write our goals out, we have to be very decisive about the choices we make. So I give all your listeners a permission to procrastinate on anything that isn't taking them towards their goals. So that means they can let go of the dishes, they can let go of the laundry, they can let go of anything that's keeping them from getting their goals done. And then the last, number four, is visualization. Our brain works based on seeing pictures. We think in pictures. So the more pictures, the vision boards, whatever, however you want to use pictures, but put pictures of the things that you want, things that you're striving for, and just keep those pictures. Visualize yourself as the entrepreneur, even before you're there. Visualize yourself as a successful startup company or a successful small business, whatever it is. And if you don't have a role model, just go out on the internet and pick somebody. Just get a CEO or entrepreneur that you want to, and fashion your life around them. I have your listeners have heard this before, I'm sure. Success leaves clues. So follow that.
I teach a very similar thing. I call them the 5 D's of success. So I love it because my first one is definitely make a decision. So I could not agree with you more. I love that. So let's talk now then about what you feel two of your greatest skill sets are that have helped you succeed in owning your own business.
Well, good question. I would say, first of all, that intuitiveness. I think entrepreneurs are very intuitive people, and you can learn how to become intuitive, but you have to understand first how to be a good listener. And that would be the second thing that I would take away, is that we have to employ active listening. Most people listen with the intent to speak. When you flip that and you listen with the intent to understand, and the easiest way to get clarity is by reflecting back what you've heard, so you stay clear. Then that'll lead us to empathetic listening, or listening with the intent to understand what is being spoken. Clear understanding allows us to make better decisions.
Very good. So that is one, is its intuitiveness. Talk a little bit more about that. You said, you know, it can, because I would agree. And I think that a lot of people, and I'll throw myself in this, I'll get this intuitiveness, like, this is what I need to do. And then most of the time, I'm pretty good about, okay, this is what we're doing. We're moving forward. I'm very decisive. But I have found, and it's funny, kind of the longer I am in business, I'm listening to too many voices around me. And then people go, oh, that is too difficult, or that's going to take too much of your time. And, oh, I don't know that that's going to be the best ROI on your time or on what you're investing. And I let people talk me out of things. And I should have went with my gut. Like 4 years ago, I knew that I should have done a planner, and I didn't. And finally this year, I was like, I'm tired of everyone telling me around me that it's going to be really hard, really challenging. And we knocked it out, I swear to you, at the end of December in about 5 days. And I was like, and it's done so well just in this short window of time. And I'm like, why in the world did I let people for 4 years talk me out of what I knew in my gut was the right thing to do 4 years ago? And so I think it's important lessons for people to listen to that. But do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I think some people it's natural, but for other people, I agree, it is listening with the intent of learning. Because I listened to people and their need. That was what I was listening to and thinking I could do a better job than what's out there, but then didn't because of logistics. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, another thing I have in one of my little sayings is study what others do and do none of it. Carve your own trail. But here's a couple things that you touched on. First is we should have any desire that we have should be backed by a definiteness of purpose. We got to have a why behind it. So if we don't have a why, then we're probably not even, the desire may not even be worth even thinking about. Then we need to put a plan together to get from point A to point B. Now, with my system, what we do is we work backwards. We start with where you want to be, and you work backwards to where you are. Once we have a plan, then you have to remove all negatives. If anybody is trying to keep you away from your goal or what it is you're striving for, then just be nice and you know, you can still be their friend. You can still do that. But just don't discuss your business and your stuff if you're going to get negative input. Surround yourself with positive people. Number four, you know, make sure that the people around you are going to support your goal. Before we started the show, we talked a little bit about Mary Kay. Perfect example. There, no one in this world, in the business world at that time, thought that she could have a business. And she just, the only person that supported her was her husband. So that's who she counted on. And that if that's what it takes, if you just have one, it's often said you become the five people you hang around with the most.
Right.
The other thing that comes to mind with what you were saying there is when you're an entrepreneur or you're in a business, you have this ability that 97% of the people don't have. You have a vision, you have a goal, you have things that are going on. So if you're looking to get talked out of what you're doing, all you have to do is go out there and talk to 95 people, and those 95 people will talk you out of it. So why go solicit, you know, a belief system that doesn't match your belief system? We're all wired based on our peers, the people we hang around with, we talk to, our teachers, our parents, whatever. And remember in the few minutes ago, I said, find a mentor.
Yes.
You know, find people that will help you. Oh, course of my life, I probably had about 10, 12, maybe even more mentors. I look for them. I want them in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is when we get ready to set goal, we should set our goals with the acronym of SMART. Everybody's probably heard this, but it's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. When you go to set goals, what happens is people are there's four things that typically kick in. People don't know how to write and set goals. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of rejection. And the most important one is they don't see the value. So if we write our goals, then you start attaining your goals. What happens is you start to see the value of writing them out.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So that's really great, great stuff. So why don't we talk about one of your greatest accomplishments or something that you're really proud of?
Well, I have so many things to be thankful for, and we should all be remember that we are blessed. I can talk to you about the being brought to the table, five of us, when we were at the company in Miami. I was called up out of the blue. It's kind of a little cool story. I'm at my mother's house, breakfast Sunday morning. That was one of our family traditions. And this man had researched me enough to know that that's where I was and called me at my mom's house. My mom's phone number is in the book, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was just kind of funny, you know, that he did. And so
sure.
Anyway, at that time, I'm like the number one salesperson in Florida for selling franchises, and that's an intangible sale, kind of a tough sale, you know that. And so, and I was considered to be one of the top five in the country. So when I was called down there, you can imagine my visualization was I was going to be the director of franchise sales. You know, I was going to have my own whole team, you know. And so I was pointing, you know, putting places and things and telling him. He goes, oh, no, I don't want you to be that. I want you to be the director of training and development. And I said, I can't type. So, and I couldn't. So, but anyway, that's, you know, to be invited to sit at a table with four other people, and I'm in a role that I have never done before. I then created a company did all the training for them, put all the training manuals together, put it all together for them, and then to do a startup from a kitchen table to public in 2.5 years is quite an accomplishment.
It certainly is. Yeah, absolutely.
Recently, a few months ago, I was called on by an immigration attorney, and one of his clients had two business plans written and submitted to the Homeland Security for grant of an EB-5 visa. So they come to me and they ask me if I could write. And I said, sure, I can write a business plan. So anyway, made that happen, put the business plan together. Now, then I find out, and I'm sure you've been there, where you find out, oh, by the way, Terry, you only have 45 days to do this.
Right.
Okay, and then you find out there are two other people that have made this attempt. So you already got two swings at this. So you already got red flags all over your name in front of the Homeland Security. And so I had to, I didn't have to, but I went to the area where this restaurant was going to be open. And so anyway, put all the things together, got set down with the guy and his family, put it all together. And I don't know if you know what an EB-5 visa is, but what it consists of is you got to invest $500,000 into a failing company. You have to employ 10 Americans within 2 years, and you got to make a substantial mark in the marketplace type thing.
Okay.
So 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. It's like 5:30 in the morning. And the man, Mr. Patel, was calling me to thank him for he got his word that he got it. And the lawyer called me at about 9:30. And you could tell he had just woken up as well. Of course, lawyers sleep a little longer. And he wanted to congratulate me again. So those were probably two, and I have a whole bunch of stuff. I've tailhooked, I landed on the USS America out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, tailhooked on there and was catapulted off, got to what flight operations. That has nothing to do with business, but it was because I was in business and that I could play golf that all those stars lined up.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny. One of the things that you mentioned was that gentleman knew enough about you to know that's where you were at your mom's and then reached out to you. And this kind of goes on another point, but I've done it. I've offered people like opportunities to chat with me if they do this, or if you just do this, you can reach out to me and I'll tell you this. And I'm amazed at how many people don't. And there was another gentleman that I had interviewed in. He's a very well-known motivational speaker, but he said, I always tell people, you want to have a talk with me? I'm always at this coffee shop every single morning at 6:15 a.m. Every single morning.
And well, maybe you and I could join Bob one day for breakfast.
Yeah. And so he said, you know what? I can't even tell you how many people I say just show up there at 6:15, and they don't. And he said one time this young boy you know, had heard me talk and said, I know that you're going to be here and I'd really like to sit down with you. And he talked about, you know, the advice that he gave this young man, kind of just getting ready to go to college and what he was going to do. And he said, I'm just blown away at how often I make that offer and how many people never take advantage of it. So it is really about putting yourself out there like that guy did. He just took a chance and put himself out there that you were going to be there and you would probably talk with them. So I think that we just need to, more people need to act on that.
I've got a story to camp on to that. I'm a proponent of, I've done it many times, call somebody up, invite them to lunch, you know, a mentor, somebody you want to learn from. I would just advise that when you get there, order your lunch to go. Bring a legal pad and just sit there and ask all the questions. Let him enjoy his lunch. That person will continue to do that for you. So I encourage that. Now, I do there is a story out there where one of the guys that I was working with, and he was in a seminar, and he heard this guy speak, and he reached out to him, found him, called him up for lunch. And the guy said, sure, basically, like you just said, I have lunch every day here and there. Please join me anytime was. And he said, okay. They set a date, and then he realized that he had to get on an airplane to get there.
Sometimes so, that's okay, right?
Yeah, so I mean, He did. He got on the plane and he went there. But had he might have held back had he realized that he was, you know, a few hundred miles away. But we shouldn't let those things hold us back, you know. So
we shouldn't. I'm a big, huge advocate of I always teach, you find a mentor and be a mentor. I just think if you can do both of those at the same time, wow. You know, you're learning from somebody else, but at the same time, you're giving back to somebody else who needs that too. So,
and another component I'd add to this is we should have a giving part of us as well, not just giving, you know, in business. So, but always surround yourself like I'm a Shriner, and that is, you know, very rewarding because of our kids, because all to us it's all about our kids and what we can do to help them. And you talking about, you know, Make a Wish, Easter Seals, you know. All companies should be involved in some sort of charitable actions.
Absolutely. So then talk to us about maybe an obstacle or a challenge that you faced and how you worked through that challenge.
Okay, good. That's a good one. We're going to go back to my air conditioning days. And I'm new in the business, maybe a year and a half, couple years old. Had about six, seven employees, real, you know, just small, getting started. And we came up with enough money to make payroll, and we had enough money to pay the phone bill, one or the other. And so I called in my team on Thursday, and I said, guys, we got enough money to make payroll, or we got enough money to pay a phone bill. Now, back in those days, Belinda, the phone bill was the most important thing in your life because that everybody went to the phone book to call you, you know, so you had to have your phone and you had to have phone book advertising. And that was what was the reason the bill was high, was because you had to pay for this advertising. So my thought was, let's let the team decide what we should do. It's a hard thing to do, but I put it before them. And for me, they chose to pay the phone bill. And one of the guys said, well, can we have some money? And I said, well, we can split it up. We have a little bit. You know, it's like all the money's in hand. We'll divide it up. I said, I have more money coming in next week. We got this job's going to finish up and this is going to happen and we're going to have all this. And I explained to them that where we were going to get our money from. So they foregoed their paychecks for us to pay that phone bill. And which to me was like a test. And we get tested a lot in business as we go through. And sometimes, you know, there have been many people that I've discussed with. They said, well, Terry, you should have just paid the phone bill and they should have, you know, should have done that. I said, no, it wasn't my money. It was their money.
Right. But it also showed that they believed enough in the whole operation. They're now have got something of their choice. They're saying, okay, I'm willing, I believe in this and I'm willing to work hard and I'm willing to forego this because I trust you. I trust what we're doing. It showed a lot of ownership in it for them.
Exactly. And most of my people, when I sold the company, I sold it to my employees, which is another thing that we should do when we get in business is when we get in business, the idea is to get in business to sell it. You don't know how many times it is that we could have saved so much time and energy if we just started our business with the idea that we don't have to sell it, but once we are not a part of it, see, my company wasn't Terry's Air Conditioning Company. I would have to stay and be a part of it. It was Buccaneer Refrigeration and Air Conditioning, named after the Tampa Bay Bucks, so I didn't have to be a part of it.
That's a really great point, too. And I love it that you sold it to your employees. I mean, who better knows the business, right? I don't think the majority of people look at that as an option or go to people. In fact, I only know of one or two people that have done that, where they've allowed their employees to sort of pool together and buy this business.
And if you want to get retail for your business, sell it to your employees.
Absolutely.
They're going to give you a true worth. Rather than, see, I based my value on my company based on, I had 7,000 customers, over 7,000 customers that had done business with me for a minimum of 3 years before they were included into the evaluation.
Wow.
Now you think about that for, you know, if you have a service business, it's hard to get somebody to come back and do business with you the second time.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you have to establish a strong value. And one of the ways that I did it, and I still do it today, and I'm sure that most of your people will be doing it. If they're not, they should be. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to send a thank you card after you collect some money from people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Just a little handwritten note. Hey, thanks. I had a card that said football player with a pass going across the card on a number 10 laid sideways. And an arc, the word thanks, and then you open it up. It says, for throwing the business my way. I signed it and sent it out. Every person got one. It wasn't hard at all. In fact, my assistant addressed the envelopes for me.
Right. So what advice, Terry, would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Learn how to ask questions. If you have an hour to solve a problem, spend 55 minutes asking questions. Do all your due diligence. There's a story in Think and Grow Rich about Napoleon Hill was asked to come to Andrew Carnegie's house, and he was proposed with this deal. That time, Napoleon Hill was a journalist, and Andrew Carnegie offered him a deal that he would open the door for over 500 businesses at the turn of the century, making, you know, strides in the industry, but little or no education. So he wanted to know what all that was about. And so later on, Napoleon Hill took him up on the deal, and he went around, and that's where the book Think and Grow Rich comes from. But later, Andrew Carnegie was asked, well, how long did you give him to make his decision? And he said, a minute. And once a person has all the information and they can't make a decision in less than a minute, then he wouldn't have had, that would have withdrawn the offer.
Wow.
And if you look at Shark Tank, if, you know, I'm sure some of your listeners do that, the entrepreneurs, all they do is ask a few questions, figure out the evaluation. Those are the real entrepreneurs, aren't they? The guys sitting in the chairs?
Right. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners could benefit from? And then you can close with where they can find you.
Okay. One of the things I'm working on right now is a university for women. Still in the groundbreaking stages. I'm still putting it together. But I want to create a university that will allow me to help them become CEOs. There's a big difference between business owner, CEO, and entrepreneur. And I know a lot of us kind of commingle all those three, but they really should be learned separately. And so I'm working on the curriculum. I have the syllabus put together for the year, and I have the first semester done. So that's coming down the road. Also, I'm got involved with a company for that. If you have an invention and you need help getting it produced and getting it out there and all the things that go on behind the scenes, I'll have that up on my website soon as well. I have two websites, ogburnsbusinesssolutions.com. Remember, there's a lot of S's there, ogburnsbusinesssolutions.com. and terryogburn.com. Any of your listeners that want to go there, they can fully check me out there, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the normal stuff. But there's a contact us button there on those websites. And if you hit that drop down and you put in a challenge, your contact information, I will be glad to spend an hour of my time with your listeners to get down on a challenge, roll up my shirt sleeves. Let's see what we can do to fix it. I promise, no sales pitch. It's not about me. It's about me helping your listeners.
Well, thanks so much, Terry. You've been absolutely delightful. I know there were so many gold nuggets in our interview today that our listeners are going to want to go back and listen to it again, because that's when we really, hearing something a couple of times certainly does help. And there were so many sprinkled throughout this entire interview that I know they're going to want to take that time if they're watching it while they're driving down the road or brushing their teeth or doing whatever anyone does, running on a treadmill while they listen to podcasts. I highly recommend that you find a nice quiet space where you can take some notes and really get the full value of this interview, because it really was a great one. So thank you so very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, for Belinda, for having me on your show. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.